This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To make a vow or another? Is it allowed to make another? Like you say, I vow to fast 3 days, inshallah, ta'ala, this month. Are you allowed to say that? You are allowed to say that, right? Okay. Are you allowed to vow something that is maybe questionable? Like you have an issue with your brother, your sister, it says, Wallahi, I swear, I vow never come to their house. I vow never to, I'll go to the house, but I vow not to eat their food. Like, you know, some people, they go to their in-law's house, and they give them tea. Oh, I don't want to drink tea today. Food, I'm not hungry. Okay, what's wrong with you? Why are you eating any, from our food? Making some of those tactics, actually, yeah, these old things and so on. What's the ruling on this issue? Hadith number 1862 in Riyad al-Salihin, Nawawi radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah ta'ala, قال, وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من نذر أن يطيع الله فليطعه ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصه. In this hadith رضي الله عنها, she said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, قال, he who vows to obey Allah should obey him, but he who vows to disobey Allah should not disobey him. حديث رواه البخاري. And what does that exactly mean here is the emphasis on that if you vow something good, you become responsible to fulfill that. And if you don't fulfill it, you're liable to pay the kafara if that was yameen. There's a dispute among the ulama if the nadir also takes the same ruling of the kafara of yameen. But on the pretext that it does, so we say that you're also responsible to make a kafara for this, the kafara of breaking an oath. But if someone vows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to disobey Allah azza wa jalla, like what? Like I said, some will vow, I will never enter his house. I vow not to eat their food. Now these things are not necessarily haram in themselves. Like you go there, you don't want to eat because I'm not hungry. But it becomes haram, why now? Because what do you mean by this vow right now? To cut ties with them, qat' al-rahm. And that is very dangerous and unacceptable. That's what becomes haram. So in this case, what do you do? Do you hold on to your vow because, well, I vowed. I'm going to keep my word. Are you going to let your ego get the worst out of you in this situation? The answer of the Prophet ﷺ says, don't listen to your ego. If you vow to disobey Allah, don't do it. Just don't do it. Now, obviously, we're not talking just about these vows, like I'm not going to eat his food, I'm going to cut ties with them. Also, if someone vows, a'udhu billah, to deliberately commit something haram, such as drinking or, astaghfirullah, committing zina or anything like this, a'udhu billah. Like, do anybody does that even? I mean, subhanAllah, some people just can't have, they snap in a moment and they vow something, a'udhu billah, that is wrong. Okay, if you vow something like this, what do you need to do? Break it. Meaning, don't do it. If say you said, I vow not to enter their house, but you're going to have to break it and go to their house. And if you do that, then you're liable to pay the kafara as well too. The Prophet ﷺ in the other hadith, he says about yameen, which means when you give an oath. قال من حلف على يمين فرأى غيرها خيرا منها فليكفر عن يمينه وليأت الذي هو خير. If someone makes an oath, swears by Allah Azza wa Jal, about something, and then they find something else better than that, he said, you should break that oath and do that which is best. قال وليكف عن يمين mean break the oath and pay the kafara for that. Like what? Somebody, for example, says, okay, I swear by Allah that I am going to, for example, fast this whole month. And then after that, you realize you have other things to do. Right? You can help people, you might be traveling, all that kind of stuff. So what do? Just do that which is best and break that vow. And if you remember, it's an ironic thing that we mentioned this story over here, this hadith. Who was the reporter of this hadith of Jama'ah here? Aisha radiallahu anha, right? Do you remember a story about the situation that we had just a few weeks back? Zubair. Abdullah ibn Zubair, her nephew, when he said things about her, when he kind of like criticized her spending, he said, if I was for me, I would actually cut her off and not allow her to spend this much money. And when she heard what Abdullah said, she said, Abdullah said that about me? I swear I'm not going to talk to him again. So she gave an oath not to talk to her nephew, cutting ties with him. And Abdullah, he tried. He sends his, you know, tries to talk to her. She doesn't talk to her. She tried to take permission to get into her house. She's not allowing him to come in. He tried to send envoys to speak on his behalf. She's not accepting any intercession from anybody. Like, this is it. She's cutting him off completely. And it hurt him big time. I mean, that's his aunt, and she's the mother of the believers, and he is the leader of the community that time in Mecca. Until he had that, he made that that he was plotting with some of his friends. He goes, look, help me out, please. So he goes, sure. They went in, and they were hiding him with them, and they asked permission to come in. She said, who is there? Said, they mentioned their names, and she said, come in, all of you. They said, all of us? She said, all of you, come on in. And they brought Abdullah in. And that's when eventually they tried telling her, this is wrong, you can't say this, this is not right, you're cutting ties with your kin, and this is the, you're better than this. So they're reminding her of the wrong yameen that she has given, until she was reminded, and then she obviously observed that, and she broke that vow, and that yameen, she made the kafara, radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda'a. So it's a reminder to all of us that do not use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to disobey him. Don't use this to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, like saying, Wallahi, I'm not going to talk to you. Wallahi, I'm not eating your food. Wallahi, I'm not coming into your house. Why would you do this? Why would you invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the most merciful, the one who commands you to forgive, the one who asks you to maintain, you know, good ties with your relatives and so on? Why use his name in disobeying him subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can't do this. So that's hadith as a reminder that never ever use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any questions, Jama'ah? Yes?
Is there any benefit in taking an oath over just not taking an oath? Like, I'm going to fast every day this week, but instead of saying, Wallahi, I will fast.
So the question is it better to make an oath or take an oath or not taking an oath? Honestly, it's better not to take an oath. Never take an oath. Like saying, just say, you know what, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So if you don't fast, alhamdulillah, you're good. But if you say, Wallahi, I'll fast tomorrow, and you didn't fast, then it becomes liable for this. Here's the thing, the nadr, or the vow in itself, is actually permissible. But once you make it, once you pronounce it, it becomes obligation to fulfill it. So there's no obligation you need to start a vow. But once you do, you become obligated to fulfill it. Wallahu a'lam. Yes?
Is this in regards to like private vows as well that you have with Allah?
Does that count? Also, you talk about private vows that you between and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like saying, I will vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake up for tahajjud every single night. And you start the first night, the second night you sleep. And then what happened? I broke my vow with Allah. Well, I vow to Allah I would never look at something haram. And then astaghfirullah, this happened again. Does that count the same thing? Well, it's not the same. Because you're swearing by things that you have no control over. So therefore, make sure that when you make your pronouncement of iman, of yameen or for another, something you can accomplish and you can do. Wallahu a'lam. Something measurable, basically. Naam. Let me just take a question, inshallah. Go ahead. Do you have a question in the back? The kafara for the nadr is just like, again, for those who say the nadr and yameen are the same, it's the same kafara of the yameen. So when someone makes a yameen and then they break their oath, how do they make the kafara? The kafara, first of all, you have three options to choose one of them. One of them is to free a slave, to actually feed 10 needy people, or to buy them clothes. So one of these three, you have an option to choose one of them. If you couldn't do any of these three, then you fast 3 days. I know a lot of people these days, they jump straight to fasting and they skip all these three things. No, you should first try to feed 10 people, you should try to buy them clothes. And you cannot, well, the majority of the ulama, they say you have to choose one of them, meaning you cannot do feeding 5 and clothing 5, or the same 5 people, you give them clothes and food. So happy 10 and 10. If you couldn't, then you go to fasting 3 days. Wallahu ta'ala. Is that your question?
Is nadr for
Even if someone vows something haram, they should break it and also give the kafara. Nah. Yes. Okay, so this vow is when you mean talking about yourself. What if you make a vow or a mean on behalf of somebody else? Like telling your wife, Wallahi, you're not going to their house. So, and she goes to their house, right? What happens there? Actually, if you make that vow, it's on you, not on her. So if she did, you pay the kafara for it, not her. Wallahu alam. Fala. Salaam. Like someone they owe kafara and they passed away before they fulfilled that. Should you fulfill this on their behalf, like the fasting of the 3 days? The answer is yes. You should. Allahu a'lam. No. Yeah, the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا يُؤْخَذُ النَّذَرُ مِنْ مَالِ الْبَخِيلِ. The nadr, the vow, is usually taken from the wealth of the miser. Why? Because the miser makes, actually, the one who gives another, usually they make it conditional. Like say, if Allah subhanahu gives shifa to my father, if Allah azza wa jal helped me with this exam, then I'll do this. So if it doesn't happen, you don't owe anything to Allah azza wa jal. So, I mean, that's exchange, that transaction is not good, but it's still acceptable, Islamically speaking, if you make that vow. Wallahu a'lam. Now, Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a reminder, inshallah, that we're going to have Salatul Istisqa, inshallah, on Sunday morning at 7:30. If it rains tonight or tomorrow or after tomorrow, alhamdulillah, we're good. But if it doesn't, we still need that Istisqa Salah, inshallah, ta'ala. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wow.